At the top of our program today, it's hardly the Eiffel Tower or the Golden Gate Bridge, but the three towering smokestacks that dominate the Lansing skyline south of downtown are undeniably a city landmark. The Eckert Power Station has generated electricity since the mid-1950s. But the plant is outliving its usefulness. The Lansing Board of Water and Light plans to take it offline in 2020. Officials are considering how to replace that power capacity and build even more in the coming years. Eckert generates about 30% of the utility's electricity. Late last year, the BWL created a citizen advisory committee to develop a so-called integrated resources plan to prepare for the region's future energy needs. My guest is the co-chairman of that committee. Steve Transeth is an attorney specializing in energy law. He's also a former member of the Michigan Public Service Commission. Steve, welcome to Current State.
Thank you, Mark. Good to be here.
Let's be clear about Eckert's place in the BWL universe here. I'm under the impression Eckert burns only coal?
That's correct.
That's correct. And it produces only electricity.
Yes.
Is that, and it's about 30% of BWL's total?
About a third, yes.
Oh, about a third. Okay. Yeah. Well, the Citizens Advisory Committee has held a series of public meetings here in the past month or thereabouts. Your most recent one was last night. Talk to us about what you're hearing from the public.
Well, it's been a very interesting process. We've just completed our fifth meeting last night. It actually culminating in what I would say is our simulation of information. They've been giving us a great deal of information, a file cabinet full of information that's going to have to be assimilated by the committee, and we're going to have to kind of weed through that to come up with our recommendations. We're now going to be entering into our deliberation period. We hope that we'll probably start sometime beginning in February. And we will start to put together what we hope will be solid recommendations for the board on how we're going to meet the need of not only Luzon Eckert, which is about a third, but two other facilities, the Eckerson as well as Bell River, which is down in the Churrit area, which the board is a part owner in, are also coal and are also going to probably be affected by this at some point, that will probably lose them probably in the next 10 to 15 years. So We really are losing about 80% of what is current power that the city of Lansing uses in the region.
So you add those other two in, that takes that all the way up to 80% of the
electricity. We are facing some very significant challenges going forward in terms of replacing fossil fuel with clean energy to meet not only what I think the citizens of Lansing are looking for, but also what's coming down from the federal and state government in terms of clean power requirements.
Now, Eckert goes offline in 2020. What about those other two that you just
They have
mentioned?
Not been set yet for retirement, but clearly because they're coal-fired, we'll have to be looking not only at Eckerson, which is a solely owned board water and light facility, but Bell River, which is actually owned by Detroit Edison, but we're a part owner in, whether or not those facilities can be converted to gas or what can happen in regards to those. But most likely we have to be looking at and planning that we'll probably lose those two facilities as well at some time within the next 10 to 15 years.
Can you say, Steve, you're hearing one thing or one sentiment more often from the public than any other?
Well, I can't really say one sentiment, but without question, Epic MRA just did an extensive survey of the citizens as well as through our four hearings. I would say there are really kind of three components. So they really want a balanced approach with these three kind of tenets, and they're going to kind of probably shape how our recommendations are going to look. They want to make sure it's affordability. City of Lansing, Board of Water and Light customers do. I know sometimes it's hard when they open up their bills, but we do enjoy some of the lowest rates in the state. They want reliability. They want to continue to make sure that when they flip those switch, the lights come on. And they're very concerned about the environmental and want to make sure that whatever we do, that we address those concerns of making sure we have clean energy. They want a balanced approach with those three. They want to make sure we address those environmental issues, but they want to make sure we do so in a way that's going to be affordable and reliable going forward.
Well, affordable and environmental, there's some built-in tension to
there
that.
There is absolutely, Mark. You're absolutely correct about that.
We know that we've heard for years that coal is abundant and therefore less expensive, but of course we pay an environmental and a health cost with there. You got a tightrope to walk here.
I think that without question, coal is off the table for now. Until technology or something comes up with some way to burn coal cleanly, which right now does not seem to be on the horizon, we have to be planning for a future that does not include coal burning facilities.
The elimination of coal from sources as a generating power generating source.
Yes.
Okay,
and that's a big challenge. I mean, as I was just mentioning here in the city of Lansing, the percentage of our energy is produced primarily from coal. Statewide, it's primarily from coal. So as you start moving away from that and start moving to other forms, that's a transition. I always like to equate this a little bit to how the telecom industry was 20 years ago. The way we generate, transmit, and use energy in the next 20 years is going to look so much different than it does today. And we are in the cusp of that. It's a very exciting time to be part of the energy industry.
I find it a fascinating discussion, to tell you the truth. And it's interestingly, it is dramatically on the front page of today's Lansing State Journal. This involves the end of coal-fired power at Michigan State University. So it can be done. I mean, obviously, MSU is a smaller community than what the Board of Water and Light serves, but it's kind of an indication of the future and of the fact that it can be done. Is that how you interpret this?
Absolutely. It's going to vary dependent on facility to facility. Unfortunately, the Eckert is so old. It's like you mentioned in your intro, about 60 years old. It isn't one of those plants that we can actually look to doing some kind of conversion. It's a plant that's going to have to come offline, and we've slated that to be 2020. What that future is going to look for other plants, we're going to have to see. Clearly, natural gas is one of the things. It's much cleaner, about 50% less than coal. It is a good bridge, potentially, to get us to the technologies of the future, which may be able to produce energy completely carbon-free. Those are the kind of things we're going to have to look at.
Are you closing in on a strategy? Is any kind of framework even beginning to emerge?
I can't really say that. Ask me back in a couple months, and I might be able to give you that. Our schedule is to have two meetings coming up, like probably in February. We hope to start to put together our recommendations in March, with recommendations to the board in May as to what we feel would be a solid plan going forward to integrate all of these issues for the board in the next. And we're not just looking for the next 4 years, but also over the next 20 years and where the board needs to be going.
We're talking about the Lansing Board of Water and Light's long-term energy strategy. Our guest is Steve Transeth. He's the co-chair of the BWL's Integrated Resources Plan Citizen Advisory Committee. He's also a former member of the Michigan Public Service Commission, which regulates the BWL and all public utilities in the state. How much has this discussion, Steve, been impacted by President Obama's Clean Power Plan? I mean, that's setting stricter limits on coal burning.
Just to make one quick correction, the Michigan Public Service Commission does not regulate the Board of Water and Light. We are independently owned municipal utility. So other than certain minor issues, the Public Service Commission only regulates the large, basically, consumers.
DTE and consumers?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
As for the current regulations that are coming down, it is going to be have a significant impact. We have to comply with those. And as those...
Did it change the discussion, though? Did the public show up at these public meetings aware of the Clean Power Plan, and did they comment on it?
Not per se. They never commented necessarily on the Clean Power Plan per se, except to say that we had a very large contingency of citizens coming forward saying they wanted to see cleaner energy being part of the equation. They want to. The committee, by the way, is about 9 members, very diverse. We have people from health, environment, energy. And there isn't any question that this is going to be a critical factor for us to make sure that we go forward, that Part of this plan is going to make sure that we address the environmental and health issues that we face in generating electricity. We all have to understand, we all want our lights to come on. We don't, and if anything, we need our electricity probably more today than we've ever needed. It's one of the greatest engineering feats in the last 200 years of how we have electrified our world. But if we're going to continue to have those kind of resources available to us, we have to realize that there's also certain prices to be paid. And so, like I said, when I started, we're going to have to really balance those. We're going to have to balance the environmental issues along with the cost issues and the reliability issues, and somehow or another develop a plan that's going to go forward that's going to try to meet all of those objectives.
Let's talk about, though, let's assume that think in terms of a pie chart here, and let's assume 100%, let's talk about all of the coal that will no longer be burned here at some point in the future. How much of that generating capacity do you expect to be replaced by, say, natural gas? Will the majority of the coal that you're no longer burning, will the majority of the electricity that you're no longer getting from coal, will that be generated by natural gas in the future? It sounds like that's the case.
Well, you got to, as we talk about eliminating these coal, large coal facilities, you're talking about what they refer to as baseload generation. And that means that's the majority of the electricity we receive. These are the plants that produce large portions, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 of megawatts of energy. It is very difficult today, with today's technology, to be looking at some of the most clean energy, other than nuclear, but you have the primary ones we think of is like wind and solar. They currently do not have the ability to replace that kind of baseload generation. So as we, on the one hand, say we got to get rid of these coal facilities, on the other hand, we got to realize that these are our large baseload plants that somehow or another we have to replace with some type of energy, generation energy, that can produce those kind of volumes. And consequently, the only thing we really have available to us right now is natural gas.
State government, the legislature, and the governor are trying to hammer out an updated energy policy for the state of Michigan as
well. Right in the midst of it.
While you are having your conversation, how closely are you having to watch what emerges from the state capitol?
Very close, because this is the city of Lansing, and this is says a lot for its current management team of Dick Pelfrey and George Stosik. They've gotten ahead of the curve on this because part of that state plan that's just being produced, and we'll probably see that within the first quarter. They're talking about possibly getting this out and getting it passed. It includes a requirement of doing some kind of IRP or integrated resource planning for the state. So all of the utilities are going to have to be doing what the city of Lansing Board of Water and Light is doing at the present time.
A comment, please, about the place of renewables and just what you think the role of renewables will be at the Board of Water and Light.
Without question, as you may or may not know, we just announced a new solar facility. It's going to be the largest in the Midwest when it gets comes online. We have wind currently within our structures, not a lot, but a small amount. We also have current biomass type of production out of the Granger facility. They produce, in total, will produce a small percentage as it stands right now, but without question, it is going to play a larger role as we go forward, and it's going to be an integral part of whatever piece of the puzzle that we put together in terms of meeting our needs.
Steve, we'd like to have you and maybe some other members from the committee back here to talk about this as you put together your recommendations.
We would be glad to.
And as this takes shape, it's a really interesting and important discussion. We've been talking about Michigan's and the Lansing area's energy future. In particular, what may happen as the result of the retirement of the Eckert Power Plant in Lansing in 2020. Steve Transeth is the co-chair of the BWL's Integrated Resources Plan Citizen Advisory Committee. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.